NPR's Greg Myrie has covered many wars. This year, he's reported on Israel's fight against Hamas and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As the year winds down, he offers this look on the conflicts and the prospects for bringing them to an end.
When I called historian Ann Applebaum to talk about the wars currently raging, she offered this stark assessment.
I think we've reached the end of a particular period in history when it was even possible to talk about some kind of universal values or rules.
I've seen this lack of restraint in Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It includes deserted villages, scorched homes, abducted children, and mass graves. Applebaum, who writes for The Atlantic, sees Russia's actions as part of a broader move by autocratic leaders and groups that reject many international norms established after World War II.
The tactics have been hit civilians, hit sites of industrial production, hit the electricity grid, hit hospitals. The war in Ukraine is really an attack on those laws, on that system itself.
In covering the Russia-Ukraine war and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, recurring themes keep jumping out. Both wars stretch back generations. What we're witnessing is just the latest eruption. Modern weaponry makes them deadlier, and accumulated hatreds make them harder than ever to resolve. At an Israeli military office, I saw a 45-minute video with gruesome scenes of Hamas militants rampaging through southern Israel. Much of the footage came from Hamas militants wearing body cameras, filming themselves as they slaughtered Israeli civilians. In its response, Israel's military says its operation in Gaza targets Hamas, not Palestinian civilians. Yet this is the fourth Israeli conflict I've covered. Israel has never unleashed such a massive bombing campaign in such densely packed civilian areas as it's doing daily in Gaza, with predictable results: the deaths of thousands of women and children. Ian Bremmer is a global affairs analyst who runs the Eurasia Group. He sees two wars that will be very hard to solve.
The Ukrainians believe a genocide has been committed against them. The Russians don't think Ukraine has a right to exist.
The Mideast war is equally grim.
Historically, Israel-Palestine has been the most challenging geopolitical issue out there. I don't think it's getting any easier with this war.
Here's why. Israelis and Palestinians fought their first war in 1948. Now, 75 years later, the leading Palestinian faction, Hamas, says it wants to destroy Israel. And Israel's long-serving Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to eradicate Hamas. During my most recent time in the Middle East, I was struck by how views have shifted across the spectrum, even among those who support an eventual peace deal.
Look, we need a new administration in Gaza.
Irel Margalit is a leading Israeli high-tech entrepreneur. He used to be in parliament, the Knesset, with the Liberal Labor Party, which supports a Palestinian state. He's a sharp critic of Netanyahu and says Israel needs a new government. He also says Hamas needs to be replaced with a
Palestinian administration that's willing to build life rather than death, willing to build schools which don't have ammunition right underneath them, willing to build hospitals which doesn't have a maze of tunnels right underneath them.
In the past, I traveled to Gaza dozens of times on my own. Now, Israel's bombing campaign has made it too dangerous. The military has only taken journalists in on brief, chaperoned visits. NPR's Palestinian producer, Anas Baba, has been our eyes and ears in Gaza. He recently described his devastated hometown, Gaza City, this way.
This is not my city. I cannot even realize what street it is. I only can smell death, dead body under the rubbles. Nothing is the same.
The story of the intractable Israeli-Palestinian feud is well known. Far fewer know the history of the Russia-Ukraine dispute. Ukraine declared independence from Russia after the 1917 Russian Revolution, but didn't manage to break away until the Soviet Union fractured in 1991. That Ukrainian independence has been under assault since Russia's Vladimir Putin invaded in 2014. Dmitry Alperovich, who was born in Russia, now heads a Washington think tank, the Silverado Policy Accelerator. He's a fierce critic of Putin.
For Putin, it's really not about whether he can capture a village and keep it occupied. His determination from day one has been to control Ukraine, to prevent Ukraine from being part of the Western alliance.
Ukraine wants to recapture lost territory. More importantly, he says, it seeks the long-term protection that would come with membership in NATO.
What Ukraine really wants is stability and security for its country to prevent another invasion from Russia. And that's much more challenging to achieve.
The U.S. plays a critical role in both wars, but may not be able to forge the outcome it wants in either conflict. One reason is that U.S. foreign policy has become much more fickle. Once upon a time, Democrats and Republicans worked together on foreign policy under the notion that politics end at the water's edge. Not anymore, says Ann Applebaum.
In an era of really harsh partisanship, it will be much more difficult to maintain a consistent foreign policy over time.
President Biden's plan to send more military aid to Ukraine is now blocked by Republicans. Biden's strong backing for Israel faces pushback from many in his own party, who say he should be showing more support for the stateless Palestinians.
The assumption that the U.S. could at least be relied on to have the same policy over several different administrations, that's probably belongs to the past.
Ian Bremmer acknowledges the difficulties in finding permanent solutions to both wars. But he says the only real hope is for the U.S. to be fully engaged.
A world where you don't have global leadership, where the United States is increasingly unwilling to be the promoter of global values, you will get more conflict.
Today, there are calls for ceasefires and peace talks, but both wars are a long, long way from a permanent solution. Greg Myrie, NPR News.